Today's daf is Vachim Daf Nun Test. So Shir is once again sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, Lezecher Nishmas Rebbetzin Weiss, Rav Asher Weiss's wife, Lezecher Nishmas Pesia Yenta Bas Yisrael Aryeh, from the Shemeshav and Aliyah, from the Zuchus of our learning. We're holding two lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Nun Chesem Beis, and we're in the middle of a discussion about the exact placement of the Mizbeach. Was it Kulo B'Tzafon? Was it exactly halfway? Was it Kulo B'Darom? So we're going through the three different possibilities of who holds that the entire Mizbeach was B'Tzafon, and how we could derive what Rabbi Yochanan's tradition was based on, that Rabbi Yossi holds this way. So the Gemara is then going to discuss, when we're talking about the placement of the Mizbeach, the placement of the Kiyor, because that relates to the placement of the Mizbeach, because there's some halacha about the Kiyor being mafsik between the Mizbeach and the Pesach of the Heichal, or the Pesach of the Ulam, depending whether you hold the Ulam and the Heichal have the same Kedusha, or whether you hold that they are different Kedushas. So we're going to talk a lot about the placement of the Kiyor. Then the Gemara is going to discuss that if the Mizbeach is Pagum, the halacha is certainly that any Karbanos that were shechted while the Mizbeach is Pagum are possible, but there's a machlokas. What about karbanos that were kadosh while the mizbeach is pagum, but were not yet shechted while the mizbeach is pagum? Are those karbanos also going to be possible? And that's totally on the issue of dichui. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to explain the machlokas tanoim, whether there was room on the mizbeach when Shlomo HaMelech was mechanich the Beis HaMikdash. Was there room on top of the mizbeach itself for Shlomo HaMelech to burn all the karbanos that needed to be burnt, or did he need to actually be makdish part of the floor with Kedushas HaMizbeach so that he could burn everything that needed to be burned? And we're going to compare the Mizbeach Shabana Shlomo with the Mizbeach Moshe Rabbeinu, and how everything fit on the two Mizbechos based on the size comparison between the two of them. So let's begin. Rav Shavya Amar, two lines from the end of the page, I think, is where we left off, where it says the Gemara, Rav Shavya Amar Hamani Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi, that really, when we talk about the four Amos, remember we had this mission that said that four Amos off of the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, that's where the Ma'arach Hashniya was. So really, what we're talking about, four Amos, is off of the Keren HaYesod. And it could be that the Mishnah is talking, assumes that that you could prove from that Mishnah, rather, that the Mizbeach is entirely in the north. And nevertheless, it's still not a raya to where Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Yosef he holds the Mizbeach is in the north, because Rabbi Yochanan was talking about Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah. Stam Rabbi Yossi in Mishnayos is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, but this Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi Haglili who said it. It's a different Rabbi Yossi. He's the one that holds that the entire Mizbeach was in the Tzafon. So you can't necessarily prove from the fact that we have a Mishnah that says that Rabbi Yossi holds that the Mizbeach was in the Tzafon. Yeah, Rabbi Yossi Haglili holds the Mizbeach was in the Tzafon. That has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan's tradition about what Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta holds about the placement of the Mizbeach. Titania, we find that Rabbi Yossi Haglili in fact holds that the Mizbeach is in the Tzafon based on the Brisa. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Mitoch Shenemar Venasata Sakir bin Oel Moed, Vigomer, that since the Pasuk says that you put the Kiyor between the Oel Moed and the Mizbeach, meaning it's put on the space of the Azara in the space between the Mizbeach and the Heichal, and it also says Ve'is Mizbeach Ha'ola, that the Mizbeach Ha'ola was placed by the Pesach Oel Moed, that it has to be dafka across from the Pesach of the Heichal. So we darshin Mizbeach bePesach Oel Moed v'lo Kiyor bePesach Oel Moed, that yes, the Kiyor is placed between the Mizbeach and the Heichal, but the Mizbeach cannot, but the Kiyor cannot be across from the Pesach Oel Moed. The Kiyor can't be chotzeitz between the Mizbeach and the Pesach. Now it happens to be that the Mizbeach was very wide, so the Mizbeach went beyond the width of the Pesach. The Mizbeach is 32 amos. The Pesach of the Heichal is only 10 amos. The Pesach of the Ulam, even if you're going to count the whole Pesach of the Ulam, is 20 amos. So the Kiyor just can't be either, depending on which way you hold, either in those 10 amos of the Pesach HaHeichal, or in those 20 amos of the Pesach of the Ulam. The Kiyor needs to be next to the Mizbeach, but it just can't be between the Mizbeach and the Pesach. So Heichana Yenosna, where do they put the Kiyar? Beina Ulam Vela Mizbeach, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, but Moshech Kima Klapei Adonim. They would move it a little southward so that the Kiyar is not directly across from the Mizbeach. It's a little bit south from the Mizbeach, because that's the only way it was going to fit. So it says, well, wait a second, why is that the only way it was going to fit? Meaning, couldn't the Kiyar very easily be placed directly between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, or the Mizbeach and the Heichal, and still not be connected to the Pesach of the Heichal? Because after all, we're saying that the Mizbeach was very, very large. Well, yes, it was very large, but where exactly was it? So the Gemara plays out every scenario. My Kasavar, what is Rabbi Yossi Aglili holding when he says that they have to move the Kiyar south of the Mizbeach and not really fulfill the pasuk that says Venasates Akir Beno Al Moir Vena Mizbeach Kipshuto, that it's literally next to the Mizbeach, between the Ol Moed and the Mizbeach? Certainly, if he holds that the entire Mizbeach is Badarom, that it's in the southern part of the Azara, so then for sure, Nukmei, Mekosel Heichal, Veladarom. Then you'd have no problem putting the Kiyar across from the Pesach, not across from the Pesach Heichal, but between the wall of the Heichal to the south, Bein Ulam LaMizbeach. And you wouldn't have to put it south of the Mizbeach, because the entire Mizbeach is in the south. So you could put it next to the Mizbeach. It's 32 Amos. Only the first 5 Amos of the Mizbeach are actually connected to the Pesach of the Heichal. Put the Kiyar in one of the other 27 Amos of the Mizbeach, and you could fulfill the Pasuk Kipshuto, and everything will be fine. So, Inami Kasavar Kedush Seichel Vulam Chadi, and even if you can say, no, it's not just the first 5 Amos that you can't put the Kiyar, because it's not only the Pesach of Heichal that the Kiyar can't be across from. It can't even be anywhere across from the Pesach of the Ulam, which is 20 Amos in width. Yeah, but if the entire Mizbeach only starts halfway through that Pesach, it's only the first 10 Amos of the Mizbeach where you can't put the Kiyar. But the next 22 Amos of the Mizbeach are perfectly fine for the Kiyar. So Nukma Mikosel Ulam Veladarom Bein Ulam LaMizbeach. Why can't you put it from where the Ulam's wall goes and south, meaning past the Pesach of the Ulam, where there's wall of the Ulam, and still be between the Mizbeach and the Heichal? V'inami Kasavar, and even if you hold that the Mizbeach is not entirely in the south, you should still have room to place the Kiyar between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, but not across from the Pesach. Inami Kasavar, Chetzio B'Tzafon, V'Chetzio B'Darom. Even if you hold the Mizbeach is perfectly centered with the Heichal and with the Ulam, it's exactly halfway north, halfway in the south. So that means 16 Amos of the Mizbeach are to the north of the Azara, 16 Amos of the Mizbeach are in the south part of the Azara. Yeah, Nukme Mikosel Heichal V'Ladarom. Still, you should be able to put the Kiyar from the south of the Kosel Heichal, Bein Ulam LaMizbeach, still between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. V'inami Kasavra Kedush Sulam Heichal Chadi, and even if you hold that the Kedush of the Ulam is the same as the Kedush of the Heichal, and Memele, you're not allowed to put the Kiyar between, across from not only the Pesach of the Heichal, but even across from the Pesach of the Ulam. So you still have to move it a little bit south of the Pesach of the Ulam. That's fine. Nukmei Mikosel Ulam V'Ladam. There's still room. If the Mizbeach is right at the midway point, that means you have 16 Amos of Mizbeach to play with that are still on the south side of the Azara. And it's only the first 10 Amos that are problematic, because only the first 10 of those 16 Amos are across from the Pesach Ulam. So put the Kiyar in the next 6 Amos. And then the Kiyar is going to be literally the way the Pasuk describes, between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. And yet, it's not going to be across from the Pesach Ulam, so it's not going to be mafsik. You're not going to have a problem. So why in the world would the Braisa tell us that no, the Kiyar can't literally be between the Mizbeach, it has to be south of the Mizbeach? Elalav must be that when Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that the kiyar has to be south of the mizbeach, mishum de kasavar kule mizbeach betzafon, it's because he holds that the entire mizbeach is in the north. The entire mizbeach is in the north. So now where are you going to put the kiyar? Yeah, if you're assuming that you have to put the kiyar in the south and the entire mizbeach is in the north, so obviously the kiyar has to be mashuch ledarom. It's going to have to be south of the mizbeach. So says Gemara v'nukme ben hechal v'lat safon. Why don't we put the kiyar in the north? Kasavra kedusha hechal v'ulam chada. You can't put it between the kosel hechal toward the north because kedushas hechal and ulam are the same. So kinami mukmata mikosel hechal v'lat safon havale ben ulam v'lam mizbeach. Even if you put the kiyar between from the north of the kosel hechal, it's still between the pesach ulam and the mizbeach. So says more. Okay, so don't just put it a little bit north of the pesach hechal. Put it north of the pesach ha'ulam. The nukma mikosel ulam v'lat safon. Meaning again, if we're assuming that the entire mizbech, all 32 amos of the mizbech, is now on the north side of the azara, so we just need to place the kiyar in a way where it's between the mizbech and the ulam, but not across from the pesach of the ulam. So the first 10 amos of the mizbech, from where the mizbech starts, first 10 amos of the mizbech is across from the pesach of the ulam. Okay, so don't put the kiyar there, but you can put it next to the next 22 amos of the mizbech. What's the problem with putting the kiyar in the tzafon? So ask the Gemara again. V'nukma mikosel ulam v'lat tzafon bivein ulam lamizbeach, between the ulam and the zbeach. So says Gemara no, because Amar Kra, the pasuk says that you have to shecht al yerach hamizbeach tzafona. It doesn't say al yerach hamizbeach tzafon. It says tzafona, and we darshin shiye tzfon panoi mikelim, that the northern part of the azara has to be cleared out of any kelim. You can't have the kiyar in the northern part of the azara. So it turns out that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the entire mizbeach was betzafon. The kiyar, you can't put the kiyar on this northern part of the azara because of the pasuk of tzafona, and therefore the kiyar cannot possibly be literally bein oval moed uvein mizbeach like the pasuk says it is. So in order to be mekayim the pasuk, you have to put the kiyar in the southern half of the azara, connected the place that would be bin olam moed mizbech, but not literally across from mizbech. The mizbech is all the way north, and the kiyar is going to be to the south. So if the Rabbi Yossi Aglili shita is that the entire mizbech is in the north, so that's what Rav Shavia is saying, that the Mishnah Maseches Tamid is following the shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That can't be a source for Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta holds that the mizbech is betzafon. It's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It's clear, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is beferish in the Braisa, that the mizbeach is betzafon. So man tana de palagaleid Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who's the tana that disagrees with Rabbi Yossi Aglili and holds that the mizbeach is not kulo betzafon? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he. The tana Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer tzafon ashe tzafon panem mikelim, meaning he agrees with the drasha tzafona means that the northern half of the azara has to be clear of any kelim, but guess what? The mizbeach is one such kli that it can't even have a mizbeach in the northern half. So it turns out that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that the mizbeach is entirely in the darum, because no part of the mizbeach could be in the tzafon, it has to be panim mikelim. Rabbi Yehuda holds chetzio b'darum, chetzio b'tzafon. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, kulo b'tzafon. Three shitos about exactly where the mizbeach is. Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta also holds its kula b'safon, like Rav Asi said in the Rabbi Yochanan, that they have a Kabbalah from his Rebbeim in the shita of Rabbi Yossi. It's just the makar that we brought from the Mishnah that wasn't a good makar, but Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta also agrees to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So this is the machlokas of exactly where the mizbeach is. So there may be nafkamina lahalach in a certain sense. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillin Nesias Kapayim Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Gimel that ma'amidin bima be'emtza bayis kedei she'yala la kori b'torah. When you build a Beis HaKnesses, the bima has to be in the middle, so that a person gets an aliyah, he goes up in the middle of the shul. Someone who speaks divrei kivushin la'am and says the Rambam, why? Kedei she'yishmu ukulam, so that everybody should be able to hear. You want the bima in the middle, and the Kesef Mishnah over there writes va'al tishiveni, says the Kesef Mishnah, and don't tell me, but I've been in very many wonderful shuls where they they build the bima at the end of the shul and not in the middle of the shul? He says that's because you've been in small shuls, and if everybody's able to hear, then it's no problem to put the bima in the front of the shul. It's only when people can't hear that you need to put the bima. So that's a major concern. If people are complaining, sometimes even in a small shul, the acoustics are built in such a way where everyone in the back is complaining that they can't hear. If, let's say, the front of the shul has a high ceiling and the back of the shul has a low ceiling, and just the sound doesn't carry. So if everyone complains that they can't hear, so we have an achrayus to put the bima in a place where people will be able to hear Kriyas Satara, right? That's Perush and Rambam. So the Kesef Mishnah says, yeah, but it's not like a din that the bima has to be in the middle. It's just a practical thing that everybody should be able to hear. So the Chasam Sofer, Nechuvin, Archaim, Simon Chav Ches, writes about this Kesef Mishnah that even though it's very nice of him to be Melamid Zchus on the Kihilos that are knowing to put the bima Shalom Be'emtze Beis HaKnesses, but he says it's nice to be Melamid Zchus, but they're wrong. It's really not right to put the bima in the middle. And he says Misvara, the bima has to be Be'emtze like the Mizbeach, because the bima in many ways is compared to the Mizbeach. We read the Sefer Torah there, which means we read the Parshas HaKarbanos, and that's why on Sukkis we go around the bima, because the bima is dugma to the fact that we were Misaviv as a Mizbeach on Sukkis. So the bima corresponds to the Mizbeach, and he says not only that, it also corresponds to the Mizbeach HaPrimi, which was in the Heichal, which was in the Mizbeach where they were Maktir Ketores, which was also directly in the middle between the menorah and the shulchan. So since the bima is connected to the Mizbeach, both the Mizbeach Chitzon and the Mizbeach HaPrimi, which is a strange thing to say, because L'chor, it should be one or the other, but it's the Mizbeach Chitzon, and we know that the Mizbeach is Be'emtza, so Mela, the Bima has to be Be'emtza as well. So it's been pointed out that when the Rambam writes, when the Chasam Sofer writes, rather, that the Bima's Dugma Mizbeach, which is Be'emtza, that's a Machlokas Tanayim, where exactly the Mizbeach HaChitzon was. The Mizbeach HaPrimi Ein HaChidavi. But if the Chasam Sofer rather is going to compare it to the Mizbeach HaChitzon, not so clear. La halacha we paskin that it was kulo bedarom. So the Chasam Sofer says that the Mizbeach was be'emtza, he must be talking about the Mizbeach HaPnimi. And the bima is maybe kereged the Mizbeach HaChitzon, certainly if he's talking about being makif the Mizbeach. We know what the Chasam Sofer was really after. It wasn't about necessarily the idea that it's exactly correct. If that was the tradition, and when people started imitating, when the reformers started imitating church worship and were doing things in shuls the way we do in churches, so he was fighting against the reformers, and that was one of the things that they changed in a Beis HaKnesses, and we have to be very careful not to change minhagim of a Beis HaKnesses. That was the Chasam Sofer's real melchames mitzvah over here. That's what he was really concerned about. That there was a chukas hagoyim element of changing the bima. Dafka, there's a heightened sensitivity to chukas hagoyim when it comes to a Beis HaKnesses, when it comes to a shul. That's what Soloveitchik thought, that it's that leaving aside whatever halachos you have about whatever rayas you have about mechitza from the end of Maseches Sukkah and from everything else, and whether it's a din d'oraisa like Rav Moshe says, because they kol b'ksav miyad Hashem, that it's a din d'oraisa to have mechitza or not a din. It's got to be a din d'oraisa. It's an issa d'oraisa not to, because that it's the way that that the goyim worship. And if we're taking ways that they worship and applying it to our Beis HaKnesses, that's going to be a problem. That also explains why the Rambam wasn't so concerned about it. The Rambam lived in Muslim countries, so there is nothing that corresponds to the bima in a mosque. So there was no less of a sensitivity to put it in the front as opposed to the middle. But the Chasam Sofer was very, very concerned about this when he was fighting the reform. So okay, but that's the difference in the Mizbeach HaChitzon. We have these three shitos of exactly where it was placed in the Beis HaKnesses. Good. So now the halacha is, now we're going to move on to the issue of a Mizbeach that's pogum, and what that does to all of the karbanos at the time that the Mizbeach is pogum. Amarav, Mizbeach shenifkam. A Mizbeach is pogum. If the Mizbeach is missing a piece, it's dented, it's broken. Kol ha-kachim shenishchatu sham psulin. Any kachim that are shechted in the Azara while the Mizbeach is pogum become pasul. Umikra haya biyadenu v'shechachnuhu. problem is we had a pasuk that proved this point, but we forgot which pasuk it is. We can't find where's the pasuk to prove that we're correct about this. So kisalik Rav Kahana, when Rav Kahana went to Eretz Yisrael, ashked Rav Shimon bar Revi, he saw Rav Shimon bar Revi, meaning Rav Shimon the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, to come Rishum Rabbi Yishmal bar Rabbi Yossi, who was saying in the name of Rabbi Yishmal bar Rabbi Yossi, mean nine the mizbeach shenivkam shakala kachem shenish chadusham psulin. How do we know that when a mizbeach is pogum, that all the kachem that are shechted in the Azara, while the mizbeach is pogum, are pasul shenemar? It's a pasuk. V'zavachta alav esalosecha ve'eshlamecha. Beginning of the pasuk is mizbeach adam atasali. So yeah, you make a mizbeach, and that's where you shecht alosecha ve'eshlamecha. V'chialav atazavech. Is that true? Do we shecht karbanos on the mizbeach? No, the shechita of the karbanos is on the ritzbas ha'azara. We burn karbanos and its parts on the mizbeach. We don't shecht on the mizbeach. Ella kishu shalim v'lo kishu chaser. Pasuk is teaching us that shechita of kachim is only okay when the mizbeach is shalim. When the mizbeach is chaser, we cannot shecht any kachim. The word alav over here means because of or on account of. It does not mean literally on top of. So that's why Amar, so Rav Kahana said, ah, hainu pradish tam le'rav. That's the pasuk. We were missing the pasuk. That's the pasuk that we had forgotten about that in fact proves our point. So you see that only kachim that are shechted, only kachim that are shechted when the mizbeach is pagam are pasul. What about kachim that aren't shechted but are around when the mizbeach is pagum? Do they become pasul? So it seems from everything we said until this point, no, it's only kachim that are shechted when the mizbeach is pagum that are going to be problematic. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, echad zev echad zev psulin. Rabbi Yochanan says whether the kachim are shechted when the mizbeach is pagum or whether they're not shechted until after the mizbeach is already fixed, but they existed when the mizbeach was pogum, they were kadosh when the mizbeach was pogum, they're also going to be pasul, because as soon as you're makdish a karban, it's ro'i lahakrava. When the mizbeach becomes nifkam, so it's now nidche, the karban is now nidche, you cannot be makrevit. So once it's nidche, yesh dichoy, once it's nidche, it can never be brought back lekashrus, it can never become kasher as a karban anymore. Kimish nidche, shuveinu nira. Can't become ra'ui anymore. So b'may pligi, what exactly is the machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan over here? Meaning clearly we know what they're arguing about. They're arguing about an animal that was kadosh and then the mizbeach became nifgam and then it was fixed. Can you now shecht that korban? But what's the nekudas of machlokas? So Rav savar balichai men nidachim. Rav holds that just because that a balchai can't be nidcha, that there's no such thing as dichui by a balchai. You can't say that it's permanent rejected. Rabbi Yochanan savar balechayim nidachim, and Rabbi Yochanan says that a balechay can in fact be permanently rejected, and it's shuveinu chozer v'nira. It cannot become ra'ui again once it's nidcha, once it's disqualified from being a karban. So meisvei, so the Gemara challenges Rav. Kol hakachim shayuat shelo nivna mizbeach v'achar kach nivna mizbeach psulin. Any kachim that existed before the mizbeach was built and then the mizbeach was built, those kachim are going to be pasul. But according to Rav, it shouldn't be a problem. Balechayim can't be nidcha. So why should those kachim be pasul? When the mizbeach is built, they should become ra'oi again to be used. Says Gemara, nivne dechuyin meikaran inhu. No, when we're saying nivne, that the mizbeach, that these kachim existed before the mizbeach was built, they were dechuyin meikara. They were hukdash and shechted when we were in Galus, when there was no mizbeach. So they're dechuy meikara. As soon as you were makdish them, they were already not roi la'akrava. So that would not be a kasha only on Rav. It would be a kasha on anyone who holds that dechuy meikara is not dechuy. Ella, so what you have to change the gears in the braisa, because that would just be a problem for anyone who holds that dichui meikara is not dichui. So Ella, you have to say is achlo neras hamizbeach, that all the kachim that existed before the mizbeach was destroyed, meaning before the first base of mizbeach was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, this is the way Rashi understands it. These animals were kadosh, and they remained alive until the time of Mikdash Sheni. So that's what it's talking about. That's what the Brisa is saying. Those karbanos are going to be possible because they were ra'ui meikara. Then they were nidche. So now when we have a bayis Sheni and we have a new mizbeach, now they're going to be possible, which is an unbelievable thing. That's the metzias. We're talking about an animal that survived the 70 years of galus bavel. That's quite a miraculous survival. But that's what Rashi seems to understand. So says the Gemara, if the Brisa is talking about behemoths that were before Neras, before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, then they would be Zakenim. 70 years later, between the Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni, the behemoth is going to be old and possible the carbon. So it's possible that they're possible. Forget about the din of Dichoy. It's a mishnah of Fereshis and Maseches Mecharos. You don't need a brisa to tell me that the behemoths that remain from the Bayis Rishon are possible to be Makram Bayis Sheni. Of course, there is Zakenim. The definition of Zikna is subject to dispute. 60 years, 70 years, but by the end of 70 years, Gol is Babel. It's possible that there's a kenim. Ella ad shlo nifkam hamizbech v'acharkach nifkam hamizbech psulin. So what you have to be gorious in the brisa is that it's not about neras hamizbech. It's about nifkam hamizbech. That any kachin that huktash before the mizbech was nifkam, before it was dented in some way, and then nifkam hamizbech, they're going to be possible. And that's a kashan rav who says that there's no dichoy on balei chayim. So says Gemara, it's not such a kashan rav, because anyway you're adjusting the lashon of the brisa. So v'lav terutzei kometeratzta, aren't you anyway changing the language of the brisa? Se'ema shenishchatu. So you should just change the girsa to kolakachim shenishchatu. That we're not talking about kachim that were alive, but kachim that were shechted during the time that the mizbeach was pagum, and that everyone agrees to, that any kachim that's shechted when the mizbeach is pagum are automatically going to be pasul. So the Gemara challenges Rav from somewhere else, though. Vamrav gidol amrav. The Gemara challenges Rav from somewhere that it's going to be even more difficult, from Rav's own statement. Vamrav gidol amrav mizbeach sheneekar maktirin ktoros b'mekomo. If the mizbeach hapnimi was moved, so it doesn't prevent you from being maktir ketores, because you could just be maktir the ketores in the place where the mizbeach used to be, even though the mizbeach is not there. Now the Gemara is assuming, if that's true of the mizbeach hapnimi, then mistam it's true of the mizbeach hachitzon as well, that when there is no mizbeach, still you're allowed to do all of the avodos that you would normally do on the mizbeach. You could do in the makom on the mizbeach as if the mizbeach were still there. So how can Rav say that when the mizbeach is pagum, all the kachim that are shechted in the Azar are pasul, even the avodos that you have to do al gabei mizbeach are kasher? Forget about all the other avodos you do. The avodos on the mizbeach are kasher when the mizbeach is pagum, because the makom is kadosh. So kedama Rav, moda hay Rav Yosi b'damim, hachanami moda Rav b'damim. So says Gemara, now just like we're going to see soon, and it's going to take us the rest of the daf and then some, to see where we see this, that even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that Shlomo Melch is Mekadesh the entire Azara with Kedusha Samizbeach, so that you could bring Karbanos throughout the entire Azara, he was still Moda that the Zrikas Hadam has to be made Dafka on the Mizbeach itself. So over here also, Rav holds that the Zrikas Hadam has to be done on a Mizbeach Kasher. So yeah, it's true. You could be Maktir Ketores on a Makom where there used to be a Mizbeach HaKetores. And you might be able to do anything else on a Makom where there used to be. But when it comes to Zrikas Dam, Zrikas Dam we're highly sensitive to. Zrikas Dam has to be Mamish on the Mizbeach, cannot be on any on a Mizbeach that's Pagum. There's a Tshuva in the Divrei Chaim, in the Sanzer, in Tshuva Sor Chaim Chalik Beisim in Yudah, where he discusses the Beis HaKnesses that expands, and they change the makam of the Aron Kodesh. So let's say they expand eastward. So the makam of the Aron Kodesh obviously is going to be all the way in the front. So the place where the Aron Kodesh used to be is now going to be a place where people sit. So the discussion is, does that place where the Aron Kodesh used to be, the location of the Aron Kodesh, does that have any Kedusha? And you have to block it off so that people can't sit there because the makam itself has Kedusha. So he says, even though the Aron Kodesh is kona, the karka that's under it for Kedusha Saron, that's only if the Aron Kodesh was by the Kosel. He says, there wouldn't be an isser of ein morid in such a case. The karka underneath the Aron Kodesh, you don't have to be choshesh your moridin mikdushasa, because the karka is not zocha to that kedusha. You don't say that the makom was zocha to the amidas ha'aron. The only makom that's zocha to the amidas ha'aron is whatever is the easternmost wall of the shul. He said, because by talush you don't find such a din of zechia, and he brings rayas to this. So in Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim, he just points out that it was so partial to the Divrei Chaim that the karka and the avir of the Aron Kodesh are not zocha b'kedusha l'chor, it's against our sugya that if the mizbeach hapnimi gets moved from its place, you're makter k'taris on the karka of the mikdash where the mizbeach used to be. And the Rambam paskins that way, and Tamid Musaf and Paragimel Halacha Beis sounds like the karka of the mizbeach is miskadesh with the kedusha of the kli that's supposed to go on top of it, even though the kli itself is talush, it's movable. So you move it somewhere else, the karka retains its kedusha. So the Rav Palin points out, not really such a kasha, because you could be mechalik between the mizbeach and Aron Kodesh. The mizbeach hapnimi maybe is mekadesh the karka underneath it, but that's lav dafka that the Aron Kodesh will be able to do the same. So it's not necessarily such a raya from one place to the other. But once we just mentioned parenthetically, oh, kida amar Rava, moda hayi Rabbi Yehuda b'damim, that there was one place where Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to damim, he's moda. So the Gemara says, whoa, where? What? Well, where do we find some sort of machlokas Rabbi Yehuda admits about damim? So that's going to take us through the rest of the daf and into tomorrow's daf. So says the Gemara, my Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? That Rava has to say that moda Rabbi Yehuda b'damim. Titania, because we have a brisa that tells us, when it comes to Shlomo HaMelech being mechanech the Beis HaMikdash, Bayomahu Kidesh HaMelech, Pasuk says, Bayomahu Kidesh HaMelech Toch HaChotzer, and V'chulei, Ki Mizbach, it says, HaMechosh HaLefnei Hashem, Katon Me'achil, the Mizbach was too small to hold all of the karbanos that Shlomo HaMelech needed to bring. So says Rabbi Yehuda, Dvarim Kiksavim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, the Pasuk should be understood what it sounds like it's saying. There simply was not enough room on the Mizbeach for all of the karbanos that Shlomo HaMelech brought on the day of the Chanukah HaMizbeach. He really brought a ton of karbanos, so he had to be Mekadesh, the Ritzpas HaAzara, with Kedushas HaMizbeach, so that they could do a Maracha, they could make fire on the Ritzpas HaAzara, and that's where they were going to burn the karbanos. Amar Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Yehuda, how could you say that the Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech built was too small for all the karbanos he brought that day? V'alokvar Nemar, Pasuk says, Elif Olos Yala Shlomo Al Mizbeach Huhu. On the Mizbeach HaMechoshes that Moshe Rabbeinu had made, which was in Givon, Shlomo HaMelech was able to bring 1,000 carbon olos on a single day. The Ilu B'Beis Olamim Hu Omer, and when it came to the carbonos he was bringing in the Beis HaMikdash, how many was it? Vayizbach Shlomo, Zevach Shlomo, Shazavach LaShem, Bakar Esrim Ushnayim Elef, and it goes on, Vitzon Mea Ve'esrim Elef, that on the day of the Chanukah HaMikdash, the number of carbonos that they had to bring was 142,000. Kshat Magil Cheshvan Olos, I'm sorry, not, it was how does it work out? So Bakar Esrim Ushnayim Elef, 22,000. Vitzon may have, 142,000. It was 142,000 karbanos. So kshat magiel cheshbon olos l'minyanamos. So let's cheshbon out. How big was Moshe Rabbeinu's mizbeach that he was able to burn 1,000 olos? And how big was the mizbeach that he built? Can you build 140? Can you burn 142 times that amount? So kshat magiel cheshbon olos l'minyanamos. If you make the cheshbon, how many olos can be brought on each amma of the mizbeach, and how many amos the mizbeach havanim that Shlomo HaMelech built was larger than the Mizbeach HaNechoshes that Moshe Rabbeinu built, Zeh Gadol Mizeh. It turns out that the Mizbeach of Shlomo was way bigger than the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, and you could bring 400,000 olos on a single day. On if you could bring 1,000 olos on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, you could bring 400,000 olos on Shlomo's Mizbeach, if you do the math. Elamau katan me'achil. So how could you say it was katan me'achil, that there wasn't enough room on the Mizbeach? Of course there was enough room. Now, kadam omer l'chavero ploni nanasu, it's like when you say about a person that he's a nanas, that he's a midget, that he's a dwarf. What you really mean is he's pasul avoda, but you say pelashon nekiyah, you don't want to mention something as pasul. So that's what the pasul is saying, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Mizbeach HaAvanim, it was pasul the mizbech that Moshe Rabbeinu made became pasul. But because of kavod, we don't want to say that the mizbech that Moshe Rabbeinu made was pasul. So that's what we refer to it as a nanas. So that's a question of zilbersin as a chashuk echem. And in general, is that something you're supposed to avoid? Are you not supposed to refer to something as pasul? So you have to say that whenever it's not going to, if there's a chashash, then if you're not clear, then people might think that it's actually kosher. So then you have to say it clearly. But that's the rules at the beginning of Masechus Pesachim when we talk about speaking Belishna and Nakia. If you're afraid people are going to make a mistake in halacha, then you got to say it clearly. But if you're not afraid people are going to make a mistake, right? If you have a Sefer Torah that they find a psul in the Sefer Torah, do you say that Sefer Torah is pasul? The Sefer Torah is tzorach tikkun, you know, that we need to fix that Sefer Torah. So it could be that there's such a sensitivity that you have to say, oh, we can't use it until we fix it, rather than to say lashon of pasul. So anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold that the mizbech was too small? How could we shapir kam Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi had a good point that if you do the math, it simply was not too small. So Rabbi Yehuda taimei damar mizbech shas Moshe gadol haya, that mizbech that Moshe Rabbeinu made, Rabbi Yehuda holds, was much bigger than 5 amos by 5 amos. So if you therefore do the cheshbon of 1,000 olos on the actual size of it and how much bigger the mizbech of Shlomo was, it will turn out that there wasn't enough room. Detanya, because we have a brisa that says as follows: on the mizbech that Moshe Rabbeinu made, it says in the Chumash, chamesh amos orech v'chamesh amos rochav, that it's supposed to be ravua, it's a square, 5 amos by 5 amos. Dvarim kiksavim de Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds that means 5 amos by 5 amos. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nemar kan Ravua, yeah, it says by the Mizbech of Moshe that it's Ravua, v'nemar la'alan, and by the Makom of the Ma'aracha and the Mizbech that Yecheskel talks about, it also says Ravua. It says 12 amos by 12 amos, Ravua al arba'as Ravav. So Mala la'me'am si'iso ha'yamodeh, wait, Yecheskel's describing the Mizbech that's 12 amos by 12 amos? No way. He's measuring the 12 amos from the middle of the Mizbech. There's 12 amos from the center to the end of usable space where you can burn things. That's what Yecheskel means. So Afkan, so too by Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbech, when it describes it 5 amos by 5 amos, Me'am si'iso ha'yamodeh. So the Mizbech that Moshe Rabbeinu made was actually 10 amos by 10 amos. So you have to subtract from that an amma for the chronos and an amma for the hiluch ragle kohanim. So the ma'aracha was 6 on each side. So the ma'aracha was 6 amos by 6 amos, right? Because you took off 2 amos from each end. So 36 square amos is where Shlomo HaMelech was able to bring 1,000 karbanos ola. According to that cheshbon, the mizbech havanim that Shlomo himself built, he would only be able to bring 11,000 karbanos ola, whereas Shlomo was makriv 142,000 karbanos. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's why it was kata mehachil. It couldn't hold all the karbanos. Shlomo HaMelech had to be mekadesh the ritzpas hazara. Says the Gemara, v'hasam minalan, the mizbech that Yecheskel built. How do you know that the 12 amos is measured not from end to end, but it's measured from the middle to the end? No, because the pasuk says, "Va'ariel shteimasrei orech b'shteimasrei rochav ravua al arba'as ravav." V'tanya shteimasrei orech b'shteimasrei rochav l'kol ruach. The brisa says shteimasrei orech b'shteimasrei rochav means in each direction. O eino ella shteimasrei al shteimasrei, or maybe it's literally 12 by 12. Kishu Omer, when the pasuk goes on to say El Arba'as Rivav, it sounds like each quadrant of the Mizbeach was 12 by 12. Melamit means that's what Al Arba'as Rivav means, that there are 4 quadrants of the Mizbeach, and each quadrant, I never thought I'd use the word quadrant after like 10th grade math, but each quadrant of the Mizbeach is that, so Melamit Shemeemtza Humode, that you see that Me'emtza Humode, that the 12 Amos is measured from the middle. So review the Darshans, this Kazer Shavar of that the Mizbeach of Moshe was also measured from the Emtza, 5 amos in each direction. So the Gemara explains, how does Rabbi Yossi hold that the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made was only Chamesh by Chamesh? He darshens, what does he do with the Gzer Shavu Ravua Ravua? Rabbi Yossi, ki gamar Gzer Shavu, when we learned the Gzer Shavu Ravua of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, it wasn't about the space of the Mizbeach, but Gova who to come here. He agreed that there is such a Gzer Shavu Ravua Ravua, but it's to teach us the height of the Mizbeach. The Tanya, because the Brisa says by the Mizbeach of Moshe that it's supposed supposed to be 5 amos by 5 amos. Ravua shalosh amos kamaso. Zvarm kiksam de Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kipshuto 3 amos. Rabbi Yossi Omer nemar kan. It says by the mizbech chiton ravua v'nemar la'lan. And it says by the mizbech apnimi that Moshe Rabbeinu made ravua, and by the mizbech apnimi it was 1 amos by 1 amos and 2 amos tall. So la'lan govel pishnayim karcho. Just like the mizbech apnimi was twice as tall as it was long. It was 2 amos tall, only 1 amma in length and width. Afkan, the mizbech hachitzon that Moshe Rabbeinu made was pishnayim ka'arko. The height was twice the length. So if the length was 5 amos, the height was 10 amos. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda reads the Rabbi Yossi, how could that be that it was 10 amos tall? After all, Efshar Kohen Omer al gamizbech vavodu biyado v'kol ha'amron nosu mibachutz, that the Kohen is going to be standing on top of a 10 amma tall mizbech doing the avoda. Everyone's going to be able to see from the outside. That's a chisaron of tznius, and there is a heightened concern for tznius when it comes to the mikdash and when it comes to the avoda, when it comes to anything that has kedusha. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll get to Rabbi Yossi's answer to that question and the subsequent discussion that follows. Okay.